Y'all ready? So today, as we continue the back to the basics, we come to a doctrine and a practice that I spent a great deal of time preaching on last year, and that doctrine is prayer. Yet despite all that we know, many of us still live with a superficial prayer life, a life where prayer has simply become routine, mechanical, and limited to asking God for what we want rather than what He desires. And if you truly listen to somebody pray, you can often see the condition of their spiritual life. Amen?
Amen.
Because prayer is not simply a ritual, it is a window to the soul. Because through prayer, it reveals our dependence upon God. It reveals the sincerity of our hearts and the depths of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And when we examine Scripture, it becomes clear that prayer is meant to go far beyond asking for guidance or presenting a list of needs. Amen?
Amen.
Prayer, it is about listening to God, confessing our hearts honestly before Him, and resting in His promises that He has made to us. And if we examine Scripture, we see that Jesus, He warned the disciples about the danger of empty, mechanical prayer. And He did so not to discourage them from praying, but to guard them from losing the heart of communion with God. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 says, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." Here, Christ, He is cautioning against vain repetition, not because words are meaningless, but because the heart can wander even as our mouth moves. Amen? See, prayer, it can continue while intimacy disappears. And words can remain while dependence fades. Prayer is meant to engage our hearts and our minds fully. Prayer, it is intended to draw us into the presence of God, not simply satisfy a religious routine. In fact, when we pray, we should visualize our Heavenly Father sitting on His throne listening to our petitions. And Scripture consistently presents prayer as the honest pouring out of the heart before God. And this kind of prayer is not merely permitted by God, it is implicitly invited and commanded by Him. Psalm chapter 62, verse 8 says, "Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Church, God invites us to trust Him fully. He invites us to come before Him without pretense. Amen? So prayer is not about sounding spiritual. It's about sounding sincere and being sincere. It's not about using big, fancy, religious-sounding words. It's about having a conversation with our Heavenly Father. It's the place where faith is expressed honestly and dependence is made visibly. Yet the good news is that God, He desires for us to pray. You see, our Heavenly Father, He longs for communion with His children. He longs for our hearts to be open, to be honest, and surrendered before Him. Church, prayer is not a burden. It is a privilege. Amen? Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says, "And you will seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart." God promises that when we seek Him with all our heart, that we will find Him. Oh, hallelujah. And this isn't a casual promise. It is an invitation to dig deeper, to make prayer a vital part of our daily walk, and to allow it to transform us from the inside out. So this morning, as we return back to the basics of prayer, allow your hearts to be stirred and moved beyond superficial asking and into prayer that listens, that confesses, and rests in God's promises. And if prayer is meant to be more than words, then it must be grounded in a clear understanding of the God to whom we pray. Amen? Too often, believers pray as if God were distant, uninvolved, or simply a dispenser of blessings. And this mindset, it produces shallow prayer. Those prayers that are focused only on what we want rather than who He is and what He desires. But church, listen to me now. Prayer begins with knowing God as He has revealed Himself in Scripture. Because we do not pray to a vague force or an undefined deity, but to a God who is omniscient in His understanding, who is omnipotent in His power, who is holy in His nature and everlasting in His being. How we understand God will always shape how we approach Him in our prayers. Amen? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 and 29 says this, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength." Isaiah, he reminds us that God, He is never exhausted by our needs, and He is never overwhelmed by our circumstances. Praise God. Amen. The God to whom we pray, His strength, it does not fade. His understanding cannot be traced to its limits. So when we pray, we're coming before a God who sees everything clearly and holds all things together. Yet Scripture also reminds us that while God sees perfectly, we do not. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Church, God's wisdom far exceeds our own. Amen? So prayer is not the means of persuading God to see things our way. Prayer is the means by which our hearts are brought into alignment with His will. Amen? Y'all don't sound sure about that. You see, trust grows when we recognize that prayer reshapes us more than it alters God's purposes. Because God is both compassionate and sovereign, prayer becomes an act of trust rather than control. We pray not to inform Him, but to be shaped by Him. Amen? Psalm 145, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth." God is near to everyone who calls on Him in truth. So our prayers, they are not sent out into the void. Amen? They're heard by a present and attentive God who invites His people into fellowship with Him. And when we realize that He listens, understands, and is actively engaged with our lives, our prayers become honest, confident, and reverent. And the prayers recorded in the Scripture show us that knowing God shapes not only the content of the prayer, but also its posture, persistence, and humility. Look at Moses, who prayed for Israel. Daniel, who humbly confesses the sins of his people. Or to Hannah, who pour out her heart for a child. Each one of these people approach God to who He is, their sovereign, their redeemer, and their provider. So studying these prayers personally is vital for our own prayer lives. Amen? The prayers found in Scripture teach us how to approach God with reverence and honesty. How to confess our sins without despair, and how to trust His purposes even when His answers are delayed. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Scripture, it doesn't invite us to approach God casually, nor does it drive us away in fear. Because Christ has opened the way, we are invited to come boldly, not with arrogance, but with confidence grounded in grace. And understanding who God is and understanding how He invites us to come before Him changes the natures of our prayers. At least it should. Because prayer, when we understand who God is, no longer is a monologue of wants. It becomes reverent, trusting, and approaching with a holy and gracious attitude. Approaching a God who desires communion with His people and uses prayer to transform their hearts. When we understand who God is and how He invites us into His presence, prayer can no longer remain shallow or self-focused. Amen? So knowing who we pray to must shape how we pray. Too often, prayer is reduced to asking God for guidance, for provision, or relief from our difficulties. And while these requests, they're not inappropriate, they're incomplete if that's all that our prayer becomes. Because we must never treat God like a spiritual Santa Claus in the sky. Amen? Amen. If our prayer remains superficial, our relationship with God becomes transactional rather than transformational. True prayer, it draws us into communion, into confession, and into the rest of His promises. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Let me say that again. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen? You want to know what God's will is? There it is. Prayer is not presented as an occasional activity, but as continual posture of the heart. A mature prayer life is marked by rejoicing, dependence, and gratitude in every season, even when the circumstances remain unchanged. But this kind of prayer life requires listening as much as speaking. Too many prayers are rushed. They're filled with words, yet they're lacking stillness. As though our prayers are simply measured by how much we say rather than how deeply our heart is engaged. In Psalm chapter 46, verse 10, God declares, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Stillness in prayer is not passivity, but it is an active trust that is yielding control and listening for the voice of God. Because God, He often speaks not through noise or urgency, but through that quiet submission that acknowledges His sovereignty. So growth in prayer requires learning to be still before God, allowing His Word and Spirit to shape our hearts rather than merely reacting to circumstances. How come most of the time when we pray, it's because something just happened? Amen? If you can't say amen, say ouch. But church, when we become still before God, we also become honest before Him. And this honesty naturally leads us to confession. Superficial prayer avoids confronting sin. But Scripture calls us to honest self-examination before a holy God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, this is a promise, amen? It says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Oh, hallelujah. Confession is not an act of despair, but an act of trust. God promises forgiveness not because we are worthy, but because He is faithful and just. Amen? Confession, it clears the heart, it restores relationship, and it reorients our prayers away from self-justification toward His grace. And resting in God's promises completes the movement of mature prayer. Our petitions are not meant to be anxious repetitions driven by fear, but expressions of trust rooted in the confidence of God's character. Psalm 37, verse 5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." So to commit our way to the Lord is to place both of our desires and our outcomes into His hands. And this kind of trust does not demand immediate change in circumstances, but it does produce peace while we wait. Mature prayer recognizes that God's will is perfect. Mature prayer recognizes that His timing is wise and His faithfulness does not waver. This confidence does not turn us inward, but draws us outward into shared dependence with the people of God. Because prayer was never meant to be practiced in isolation alone. Corporate prayer and prayer partnerships cultivate accountability, encouragement, and shared dependence on God. When we pray with others, our perspective widens. Our faith is strengthened and our hearts are shaped by the testimonies and the perseverance of fellow believers. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." Steadfast prayer is marked by watchfulness, and gratitude keeps the church spiritually alert and grounded in grace. It reminds us that prayer is both a discipline and a means by which God sustains His people. So personal study of the prayers recorded in the Scripture further equips us to pray with depth and discernment. You should never say, "I don't know how to pray," or "I was never taught how to pray," because God provided us prayers in the Scripture. Amen? Amen. We should study the intercessions of Abraham and Moses, the laments of David, the petitions of Paul, and the prayers of the early church. And as we do that, we learn that prayer is never casual and it is never self-centered. The prayers that are found in the Scripture show us how to approach God with reverence, honesty, perseverance, and hope. And by listening, confessing, and resting in God's promises, we move from superficial approaches to a prayer that is mature and living in communion with our Heavenly Father. And this kind of prayer life shapes the believer. It strengthens the church and it prepares God's people to walk faithfully in His purposes. So if we desire a prayer life that is more than superficial, we must take intentional steps to cultivate depth, consistency, and relational intimacy with God. Because prayer is not automatic, amen? Prayer is learned. It is practiced and it is nurtured over time. Just as we do not grow spiritually apart from the Word of God, we do not grow in prayer without deliberate attention and faithful discipline. Spiritual depth in prayer is cultivated through ordinary, faithful practices that shape the heart over time. And one essential step toward deeper prayer is setting aside dedicated times to seek the Lord. Too often prayer is treated as a secondary activity fitted into the margins of our day rather than placed at the center of our lives. And God, He calls for His people to give Him their first attention, not our leftovers. In Psalm chapter 5, verse 3, David declared, "My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up." David's practice of seeking God early reflects a heart that understands priority. Consistent and intentional times of prayer shape our desires, steady our hearts, and align our minds with God's purposes. And these moments aren't burdensome obligations, but sacred opportunities to dwell in God's presence, to submit our concerns to Him, and wait expectantly for His guidance. Another vital practice is corporate prayer. Christian life was never intended to be lived in isolation, and prayer is no exception. When believers gather to pray, faith is strengthened and burdens are shared with the body of Christ. Acts chapter 12, verse 5 says, "Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church." The key word there is constant. Amen? The church's response to Peter's imprisonment was not panic or strategy, but persistent prayer. Their confidence, it didn't rest in the circumstances, but in the sovereignty and the faithfulness of God. So corporate prayer unites hearts. It reinforces dependence upon God, and it reminds us that we belong to one another under His care. It draws the church together around God's purposes rather than individual concerns. Prayer is also strengthened through intentional partnership. One-on-one prayer relationships create space for honesty. They create space for accountability and mutual encouragement. So if you don't have a prayer partner, my encouragement for you is to find one. Somebody that you can check in with at least once a week and say, "How can I pray for you? How can I praise God because of what He's done in your life?" That relationship is so, so important. These prayer partnerships remind us that perseverance in prayer is often sustained through shared faith and mutual dependence upon God. Another essential practice, which has already been emphasized, is the careful study of prayers recorded in the Scriptures. If you don't know the words to pray, pray through the Psalms. Study how Moses prayed, or Paul prayed, or Abraham. Observe how God's people approached Him in faith and humility and dependence so that you could be equipped to pray with reverence and courage. Nehemiah, he provides a clear example in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. "And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, You who keep Your covenant and mercy with those who love You and observe Your commandments. Please let Your ear be attentive and Your eyes open that You may hear the prayer of Your servant, which I pray before You now, day and night, for the children of Israel, Your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against You. Both my father's house and I have sinned." Through Nehemiah, we see intentional, humble, and focused prayer acknowledging God's greatness, His covenant faithfulness, and His dependence upon Him. Nehemiah's prayer reflects a consistent biblical pattern of reverence, confession, and dependence that continues to guide God's people in every generation. So study these examples, because they show us that prayer is not merely asking for things. It is entering into God's will, seeking His glory, and aligning our hearts with His purposes. And as we cultivate habits like dedicated times of prayer, corporate prayer, prayer partnerships, and the careful study of Scripture, we also embrace the posture that sustains all effective prayer: listening, confessing, and resting in God's promises. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15 says, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength." This verse, it reminds us that true strength in prayer comes not from our effort alone, but from a posture of trust and stillness before God. In quiet attentiveness, we open ourselves to His guidance. In resting on His promises, our hearts are renewed. Prayer then becomes more than words. It becomes an expression of dependence, faith, and obedience that shapes both our hearts and our lives. And prayer is not an optional exercise. It is the lifeblood of the believer and the engine for revival. Amen? So returning to the basics reminds us that effective prayer begins in relationship, it flourishes through faithfulness, and bears fruit in obedience and service. And when prayer takes root this way, it inevitably bears fruit in the life of the believer and in the life of the church. A deep prayer life does not simply change how we talk to God. It changes who we are, how we live, and how we influence the world around us. When prayer moves beyond routine and into intimacy, confession, and trust in God's promises, it produces visible results. Prayer shapes character. It humbles the proud. It strengthens the weary. It clarifies priorities, and it aligns the desires with God's will. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Transformation comes to the renewing of our minds. True prayer shapes thinking, motives, and responses. Amen? Regular, earnest communion with God cannot and will not leave us unchanged. As we pray, we are formed into His image and equipped to resist sin and pursue righteousness. And again, corporate prayer, it strengthens the life of the church. When God's people pray together, hearts are united, faith is ignited, and God's Spirit moves in powerful ways. We see an example of this in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." The early church, they devoted themselves to prayer. And what was the result? A community that was marked by unity, generosity, and visible signs of God's favor. So corporate prayer aligns the congregation with God's purposes and opens the door for revival. And the impact of corporate prayer extends far beyond the walls of the church. Amen? Because a people saturated in prayer become a channel of God's mercy, His justice, and salvation in their city. When our lives are rooted in prayer, we begin to discern God's hand in every situation, seeing His purposes even in challenges we cannot yet change. And as children of God, we need to pray for vision. Because too often we pray as if the goal is simply to remove obstacles, to fix problems, or see immediate miracles. So don't pray for the miracle, pray for vision. While God can intervene, the deeper invitation is to ask for vision, to pray that our eyes be open to His hand in every circumstance. Amen? Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18a declares, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." So vision allows us to recognize God's guidance and His provision, even in situations we might prefer Him to remove us from. And when we pray for vision, God reshapes our perspective so that we begin to see His hand at work even before our circumstances can change. We learn to rejoice in His presence, to trust in His timing, and to discern His will. And then prayer ceases to be a list of demands and becomes a lens through which we perceive God's active care in all aspects of life, transforming both our perspective and our response. And as our vision is clarified, our prayers expand beyond ourselves to include others and the world that God longs to redeem. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. Through prayer, God shapes families, workplaces, and neighborhoods. Prayer is never passive. It brings heaven's power into earthly circumstances. Amen? And a mature prayer life cultivates courage and faith. When we learn to listen, confess, and rest in God's promises, we gain boldness to step into ministry, confidence to witness, and endurance in trials. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 and 19 says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You want a powerful prayer to pray? There you go. Church prayer equips us to stand firm in spiritual battle. It empowers us to act with faith, knowing that God's power is at work in and through us. A transformed prayer life changes everything. It deepens intimacy with God, it strengthens the body of Christ, and it positions the church to see His kingdom advance in ways that we cannot achieve on our own. Prayer moves us from superficiality into vibrant, effectual communion with our Heavenly Father and producing fruit that lasts for all eternity. So my sermon this morning is not merely calling us to pray more often, but to pray more faithfully, more honestly, and more deeply. Because it's too easy to settle for superficial prayer, offering God routine words shaped more by habit than by hunger. Or we can have a prayer life that embraces the fullness of life that is devoted to communion with God. True prayer transforms, church. Amen? It shapes our hearts, it aligns our wills with God's, and equips us to participate faithfully in His work in this world. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Prayer is not passive. It is active engagement with God and with one another. Confession, intercession, and dependence are not signs of weakness, but expressions of faith. When prayer flows from sincerity and repentance, God moves. Hearts are changed and lives are restored according to His wisdom and His grace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we bring our concerns before God in prayer, anxiety loosens its grip and peace takes its place. And this peace does not come from changed circumstances alone. It comes to hearts that have learned to trust God fully. It comes from listening to His voice, to confessing honestly, and to resting in His promises. But prayer is also a call to faithful action. We're called to be a people who pray together, who bear one another's burdens, who seek accountability and encouragement through prayer partnerships, and who allow Scripture to teach us how to approach God rightly. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Even in our weakness, God has not left us alone. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us, guiding our prayers beyond our limitations and aligning them with the will of God. Prayer then becomes not a performance we must perfect, but a place where God meets us with grace and power. So let us rise to the challenge together. Commit to a life that is intentional, relational, and transformative in our prayers. Amen. Seek time alone with God. Join with others in prayer. Walk faithfully with your prayer partner. Immerse yourself in the prayers of the Scripture, allowing them to shape your words, your posture, and your trust. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Those who wait on the Lord will find their strength renewed. So prayer, it sustains us not only for our personal journey, but for the work that God has entrusted to His people. It strengthens us to endure, to serve, and to walk faithfully, even when the path is difficult. And the path will be difficult. So church, move beyond superficial asking. Learn to listen, to confess freely and rest confidently in God's promises. Let your prayers become a channel of His presence, a reflection of your faith, and a witness to His power at work in your life. And this is not a calling to isolated individuals. It's a calling to a church united in humble and expectant prayer. Let us not pray as routine, not as duty, but as lives fully surrendered to God, trusting the one who is faithful, wise, and able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask. And this morning, let me leave you with a final thought. When you pray, what does God get out of it? Anytime you pray, you should be asking yourself that question. What does God get out of what I'm asking for? Because we need to recognize whether we're asking with selfish motives, or if what we're praying for is His will and His glory. That question helps us examine our hearts, because prayer reveals whether our requests are shaped by selfish motives or surrendered to the glory of God. We are not simply called to pray for what we want. We're called to pray for what we need in order to live out what God has called us to do. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 reminds us, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." So even our prayers should glorify God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I am so grateful that You desire to have relationship and communion with Your people. I am so grateful that we are able to come directly to You in boldness to make intercession and prayer. What a wonderful privilege. Father, it's my prayer this morning that we would seek you honestly, that we would seek you daily, that we would move beyond asking for what we want and move into asking for what you desire, what you want for our lives, that we would humbly submit ourselves to your will. Father, may our lives and our prayers be transformed by who you are and what you have done. Father, thank you for being a God who loves us, who cares for us. Your mercy and your grace are so, so great. And I lift this up in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.